Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Got us, then we gon' be all right.
We always love talking to this guy, Dan Orlovsky. Maybe he could bring us some clarity on Daniel Jones, and that's what we'll start with him with. And Dan, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. Hope you're well.
We're doing okay as well. All right, so let's start with Daniel Jones. We look at Thursday's game as a very important game for the Giants. They can't afford to go 0-2 and again. They're facing a team that has lost its starting quarterback, playing Taylor Heinicke. And we just think that it's time for Daniel Jones in year three to step up. Do you look at it the same way, and are you a Daniel Jones positive guy or negative guy?
I'm mostly a Daniel Jones negative guy. I've been pretty outspoken since the moment they took Daniel Jones that I just did not expect at the sixth pick that the Giants were getting a player that was going to be somebody who's an eraser. You know, when I'm taking a quarterback that early, he's got to erase some of the other flaws in my football team. And you've got to have some traits that can do that. And Daniel Jones doesn't have any of those traits. And could Daniel Jones be a good starting quarterback when he's going to get really good protection, really good scheme, and have some solid skill position players around him? Yeah, he's going to be a good, solid starting quarterback, a very Kirk Cousins type of guy. But when you take him at six, whether it's not his fault, but fair or not, the expectation is you're going to elevate, and you're going to be the guy who can go get his own shots. And Daniel Jones just isn't capable of that. So I think it's a really difficult matchup on Thursday. You know, if you go back to last week, the issue for me is Daniel doesn't play as smart as he is. He's such a smart kid, and you know that he knows exactly what to do given what the play is and defense and this, but he's always constantly making stupid plays. And to be year three, to have certainly better skill position around him than he did last year, and still not great, to say Daniel's got to step up is I think a little far-fetched for me because Tony's still not playing and the offensive line is still very bad. You want him to, but I just don't know if he's capable of or the people around him are.
And just to try to be as positive as possible, Dan, I don't want to put all my eggs into one game because of, you know, he only played a little bit in the preseason. You know,
yeah.
Can I still, from the defensive side, from the offensive side, just kind of say, all right, let's give him not a pass, but do you grade it differently than maybe a lot of other quarterbacks just because of everything going into the first game of the season and how little he had a chance to play and Barkley not play at all in the preseason?
Yeah. Yes. I have said two things about Daniel Jones. One, what are your expectations? You know, everybody, and sometimes fans have realistic ones and they don't, but that's up to the fan. And then two, I thought that Daniel was going into a very similar situation as the Sam Darnold did last year, where everyone's expectations were going to be, well, become Josh Allen or perform like a Josh Allen did in his third year. And you're like, these aren't comparable situations. Yes, you can go, all right, Saquon didn't practice and he's just coming off the ACL. What is the deal with Kadarius Toney? It's his first time running. That, you know, Jason Garrett's offense when he's had a full offseason. That being said, I didn't watch the game and then rewatch the tape and go, man, he's really struggling to operate. That's not my thing. My thing is, why do you miss some throws that are there, and why do you still look like you want to panic with the football? How come you can't hold on to it? You know, I was a guy 2 years ago, I said, I'm not super concerned about the fumbles because that's something that you can take care of. You can get bigger, stronger. Mm-hmm. Why does it continue to show its face, Daniel? And there's two decisions in that game where I go, you're too smart to make that decision. You started 27 games in the NFL. And that's why the big thing, we've heard this said about Mac Jones. Well, the Patriots loved him because he doesn't make the same mistake twice. Daniel's got to start showing that to Giants fans. I think that's fair.
Are the Giants any better off this weekend with Taylor Heinicke playing for Washington versus Ryan Fitzpatrick, or do you see this as generally net not a huge difference?
Yeah, I see it as a net not a huge difference, somewhat of a lateral move. You know, if you looked at Ryan Fitzpatrick and said, take away the experience, what does he do well? He can create, he's aggressive with the football, he'll try to push the ball downfield, he can evade some stuff. that's very much so Taylor Heineke's game. His arm's probably not as strong as Fitz's, but it's very similar to that. What are his cons? He will get careless with the football. If he's trying to, if he gets into a place where he's trying to score a ton of points at once, you can get some turnovers. That's the same type of player. And so he's going to lack some experience, Taylor. I think that the Giants have an advantage when it comes to that because Tydrick Graham is incredibly creative, and so he can try to confuse him and get him to see some different coverages and to hopefully force him into a mistake. But as far as just the fundamental who's a better player, I see it as somewhat of a lateral kind of move for Washington.
All right, so give me your take then on Zach Wilson. Do you think of him in the same vein as you think of Daniel, or do you see more?
No. Much different vein. I was actually really impressed with Zach. Even actually going and rewatching the tape, because I watched the game, but I'm watching seven games at once, and everyone's saying, man, Zach really looked like he struggled early on. And after rewatching the tape, like, he throws that, you know, crosser to Corey Davis, and I'm like, whoa, that ball popped off his hand, and it happened fast. I think the two things that stood out in the first half for me were, one, he realized the game in the NFL is really fast, and it is different than in the preseason, and that it's going to take some adjusting to it. And that holes in the NFL are just this, or windows in the NFL are the same size they are in college. They just close a lot faster. And that's mainly to the length. That interception he throws, it's the right throw and it's the right read. You just got to get it 3 inches higher because the underneath defenders in the NFL are a lot longer. Now, what I loved about it in the second half was how tough he played. You know, it was obvious that, okay, I sped up. I'm playing faster, but I'm not in a hurry, and I think we can go win this game. And I loved how tough he played and how much you saw him kind of get a feel for the speed of the game quickly and adjust really well.
All right, so you're not concerned about him mentally breaking down from the pressure, but would you be concerned about him physically while this offensive line's in flux?
Yeah, I would say this. Yes, my answer is yes, because he's a lot smaller than people think. If you haven't seen him in person, he's not as big as kind of he presents himself with some of his athleticism and the way he runs around. The Becton injury is huge. I think that, you know, the way you want to protect him, and there's ways you can go about it, and the movement game and the play-action game for the Jets should absolutely help, but I would not put him on the edge in a naked situation. Now, the difference between a bootleg and a naked. Naked, there is nobody blocking the edge that you're going to. If I'm faking a handoff to the left and going back to my right, there's nobody blocking anybody back to my right. Where in bootlegs and movements, you can protect that way the quarterback is going. Now, the downside is there's one less person likely out in your pass concept, specifically someone early, but it also doesn't expose him to that stuff. So you can still run your offense that you want for the most part, and especially that movement game, while not exposing him to some of those hits. And then I think you got to figure out what protections he's comfortable with, because you guys know the Justin Fields hit that everyone has seen 1,000 times against the Buffalo Bills in the preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson took the same exact play. Same exact play. He takes that same hit off his right side where he's looking left. The protection is messed up, and an unblocked defender comes and hits him right in his chest. And you got to figure out, hey, what happened here? Did you not see that? Are we giving you too much? And you got to really make sure that he's got an understanding of the rules of the protection, no matter who he's playing against opponent-wise.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dan Orlovsky is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show. After the first week, it's overreaction time. And, you know, a lot of people down on the way Aaron Rodgers performed. So you're looking at it much more clear-eyed than all of us, although, you know, Rodgers said that a lot of his bad play was because somebody hit him in the, I guess, the onions, if you want to call it that. What did you see from him? I mean, do you see a drop-off in skill?
Not a drop-off in skill. It's certainly a drop-off in performance. You know, Mike, I remember last year watching the first game of the season and coming off of the offseason where he was, I went back and watched some tape and saw some things that I really did well, and I incorporated it all offseason. Then they played the Vikings week one. He was absolutely marvelous. And I remember going on television next thing, and that's the best I've seen him look in 5 years. And then he goes on to win the MVP. That's the worst I've seen Aaron look in 5 years this past weekend. Very unclear to what to do with the football. Both interceptions are so uncharacteristic of him, it's unbelievable. He does not throw that interception in the red zone. He just doesn't do it. And then the ball that Marcus Williams tracks, the long interception, that's not even close to the receiver. Even if it's not picked off, it's a really bad incompletion. So he played very poorly. I was not totally shocked by it as a team, though. I have been someone who has said all offseason, the offensive line is a concern for me. They got three new positional starters on their offensive line. Two of them are rookies, second and a fourth rounder. For us to expect that that offensive line is going to play the same way, we're kidding ourselves. And then the two things that made their offense special last year was the motion, either pre or at the snap, and the play action. They didn't do it at all Sunday. They ran six play action passes on Sunday. That shocked me. And so I don't know exactly why it happened like that for Green Bay, why they were so minimal in their usage in that aspect. But Aaron did not look anything like the guy we watched last year.
Tough loss for Baltimore last night, and now have to play host to Kansas City this week, staring 0-2 in the face. Would they be in trouble?
Oh, for sure, because this is a team that has been, we all know they've been decimated by injury. The thing that I was alarmed with last night, if I can go back quickly with Lamar, special playmaker as far as last night. He was a special playmaker. He played quarterback terribly. You know, when the Raiders kept saying, we're just going to play cover three against you, when you get simple coverages, make simple throws. And they were just daring him to do that, and he would not do it. And instead of being somebody that was going to play boring, he wanted to, you got to outgrind rather than outshine a defense like that. That's an old Bill Belichick thing. And he wasn't willing in doing that. And that concerns me because we all know copycat league. Teams are going to go, all right, you're not good enough in the run game anymore because of some of the injuries on your offensive line, the new pieces and the injuries to your tailback. We're just going to play zone, keep all our eyes on Lamar Jackson. You're not going to take the easy completions. And so for a team that 0-1 got beat and played poorly, you're going to lose this week against the Chiefs. You're going to sit 0-2. You're decimated at the running back position. Your defense is going to have to change because the Marcus Peters injury is enormous. And we still haven't seen a legit pass-catch option outside of Mark Andrews. Yeah, that is a very big concern when you look at the rest of the AFC and how promising they are.
Dan, Michael really attacked me yesterday viciously. Because
that's what I do.
Because I said that...
I don't believe that. He doesn't come across as that kind of guy.
He puts on such an act for you. You wouldn't yeah. believe it. But
all right. Give me what you got.
I respect Dan.
No, he's always trying to kiss up to the network people. But listen, he was attacking me because I said that if I'm a Jets fan, I feel pretty bad about how Sam looked on Sunday because I thought Sam Darnold, while he was not Joe Montana, played a very solid game. What say you about Sam Darnold out now that he's out of New York?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easier to throw against the Jets than throw for the Jets is my biggest takeaway, and that's, I agree that Sam Darnold looked fantastic. I've gotten some pushback on that today. The reason why I thought he looked bad, and I would not feel bad if I was the Jets. I think everybody who's listening, who's ever heard me talk about Sam Darnold, thinks I love him, and I think he's going to be a really, really good player. I think at the end of the day, the Jets did a justifiable move when it comes to moving on from Sam and taking Zach and resetting everything for the future. I can understand that. I think Sam's going to be very good in Carolina. The thing that stood out to me the most was how good his eyes were. You know, there was no left and right or back and forth or kind of, oh, my goodness, what's the defense doing? And it's kind of you could always watch the face mask of a quarterback often, and they'll tell you exactly if they know what they're looking at, where they're supposed to be, and what they're supposed to be or when the ball is supposed to go there. You know, where, what, and when stood out to me for Sam Darnold. And then – the biggest takeaway is the ball was never put in a careless situation. Never. He missed free throws. He missed a ball to Marshall in the red zone. He missed a back shoulder to Marshall, and then he missed an out route to the field, or kind of a shake route to the field. So he missed three throws, but the ball was never put in a careless position. He was never kind of treated carelessly. And that's something that has been the conversation around Sam is, oh, there's two plays a game where he's just going to throw the ball up. And, there was a little bit of boredom to his game, and there was a little bit of check down Charlie to his game. But that's exactly what everyone has been begging him to do for 3 years. For me, that's tremendous growth. I can't go and praise Jameis Winston for doing that exact same thing against the Packers and not sit there and praise Sam Darnold when they both had very similar questions.
All right, so before we let you go, right up against the clock, I thought that Sam had a lot of balls sail high. You say there were three, but we saw a lot of that with the Jets. That's why I didn't think he had a great game. But he was a third pick. Daniel Jones was a sixth pick. Who has the higher upside, in your opinion?
Oh, Sam Darnold, and it's not even close.
Really? Not close.
Sam Darnold has physical traits that Daniel Jones could never have. Daniel Jones needs to operate at close to perfection for him to reach his highest, ability, so to speak. And again, that could be a good player, a Kirk Cousins type player. Sam Darnold has physical traits and mental traits and work ethic and character. And Daniel's got this as well. But when you got all that stuff, Sam Darnold just has physical traits and he can make throws. Like Daniel Jones can't consistently make that throw to Robbie Anderson in the pocket movement for the touchdown. Sam Darnold can make that throw to Terrace Marshall down the left seam. Daniel Jones can't make that on a consistent basis. He could just make throws and movements that Daniel can't.
Great stuff, Dan. We thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good night, guys. Be nice to each other.
Thank you. Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN football analyst, he'll join us every week. We'd love to have him. We'll come back. We'll take some phone calls. Pretty interesting stuff on Daniel Jones. So I don't think it's a stretch to say not that high on him, is he?
No.
Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.